You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
That's all right. We are in a series entitled Outbreak, 50 Days Later, and understanding that from the point of time of resurrection up until the time of what we recognize as Pentecost, the Spirit dropping on the disciples and then them being released into the ministry that the Lord had been training and developing them for 3 years, that in between time of those 50 days, there was something that was happening with them. And as we are progressing in this series, what we're finding out is exactly as far as the Lord was concerned, because now we have the written word to kind of give us a guideline of what was going on, what was supposed to happen there after the resurrection, what happened, and how do we conduct ourselves each time that we celebrate, hallelujah, Resurrection Sunday, that the day that Jesus rose from the grave was just the beginning. Glory to God. Y'all with me? So last week, the message was entitled, The What? The Mystery Revealed. Thank you, Miss Tracy. The mystery revealed, and what the mystery was this dynamic that God didn't leave you and I hanging. That for us as Gentiles, he identified that none of us were any descendant of Hebrew or Jewish culture, and so we were Gentiles, and God saw fit that he hid inside him a secret to say that even while I have presented the Messiah to my people, they didn't necessarily receive him, but to those that received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. And we knew this scripture when we understood that aspect of our salvation and us saying yes to Jesus, that we would then be able to enter into the kingdom. But here is our reality. What did we know or even care about kingdom talk? Nothing. So for us today, In this Gentile state, even when we get saved, it's very difficult for us to walk out our faith because we constantly have this conversation about kingdom and thereof we live it now, but we're looking for it in the future. But we really have no understanding of kingdom because we hadn't been taught like our Jewish brothers and sisters. Are y'all with me? We had no foreknowledge of God's plan for the Messiah to come to restore the kingdom. We didn't care. Right. We didn't care. God knew that we didn't know, but he made provision for us. And the secret, or if you will, that mystery that Paul speaks about is this mystery that God had a plan within a plan. And that plan within a plan, the gospel of the kingdom to his people, for them to receive their Messiah was a great thing because then they could aspire to everything that God had promised. But what about us who didn't know anything? God had a plan within his plan. And his plan within the plan was, while they understood the aspect of the manifestation of kingdom, I want you, the Gentiles, to understand Jesus came for you and I bestowed to you grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to start there. Can we bring that up on screen? Today's title is The Mystery Identity. The Mystery Identity. Or if you want to, in parentheses, you can put The Grace Identity. How then should we function now that we know that God made provision for us who didn't know who Jesus was or even what this whole kingdom thing was about, that we weren't responsible to go back and redo what the Jews did. We didn't have to do that. We had to operate in a different standpoint in that God showed us unmerited favor to say, I want you to be a part of this big plan because I had plans for you even though you didn't know I had plans for you. I want you to be a part of this kingdom promise even though you have no idea what it is. But if you understand that I've been looking for you and I chose you and I wanted you even when you didn't want me, then maybe you'll grasp a hold of this. And look, I didn't even leave you hanging to try to do it, as Brother Shannon said earlier, just by your intellect. I'm going to give you my spirit. Yes. I'm going to leave with you a comforter. I'm going to leave with you a helper. I'm going to leave with you a counselor. I'm going to leave with you an individual that will remind you of everything that I said to you, him speaking directly to his disciples, but even those of us thereafter, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become students of Scripture. Why? so that what we learn, the Holy Spirit then can confirm and we can live it out. Y'all playing? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 in the Amplified. That's all I'm taking off. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved. Let's go to the next verse. Delivered from judgment and made what? Partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation, yourselves, of your own doing, it came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Keep going. Next verse. I need y'all. We need to see that. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, guys. I knew we needed to. I need for everyone to grasp this in the Amplified. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result. Come on, y'all. Wow. So no one can take pride himself in it or take glory to himself. Jesus. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ, born anew, right? Those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, because it's time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. May God add a blessing to this. Is really comfortable, Shannon. Thank you very much. To live the good life that God pre-planned, pre-arranged for those that would accept Christ Jesus, not by the aspect of our knowledge of the law or his instruction as our Jewish brothers and sisters would, but by this free grace, this unmerited favor, this saying, I choose you in the condition that you are in. Knowing the condition that you're in, it's not your fault that you don't know, but I want you to understand that I prepared a way for you to know, and all you have to do is by faith accept the truth of what it is. Of what is my love and my care and my concern for you. That you would live the life that I already set in motion for you, even before you were even thought about. Even before I was even thinking about creating the world, I had already set it up. That you would have an opportunity to step into this grace of salvation by faith. Which is a gift of God. So now we have a responsibility. Help me sing this song. I did not like this cartoon, but you know, it's one of those things that just gets ingrounded in your mind. Y'all help me out. Scooby, Scooby Doo. We got some work to do now. We can count on you. All right, stop. Wow. Pastor Rich, why in the world did you do that? Well, because the lyrics of the song first say, Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? We have some work to do now. And if you know anything, if you're familiar with the cartoon, you understood it. Scooby and Shaggy. The problem with Scooby and Shaggy is that really they were in the wrong business. Hello? They were in the wrong business. Because anytime something manifests, and of course they were, quote, ghost hunters, anytime something manifests, they would go the opposite way. They would not do the job. Why? For fear. There's a point to this, y'all. There's a point to this. That when you and I said yes to Jesus and our relationship with him based upon God's grace in our lives, it meant that he didn't leave you hanging to wallow in your sin. He didn't leave you hanging to be able to make excuses for continual sin. He wanted you to know that not only did I provide for you to come in, but I provided for you to be able to thrive. That's not exciting, huh? That doesn't move you, huh? That I didn't leave you here to say yes to me so that you would have access to the kingdom. We talked about this last week. Because to be honest with you, you really don't have an idea about this kingdom stuff. But you do have an idea about your right now. You do have knowledge of the condition of your life right now. Jesus declares that the enemy, he comes to steal, the thief, more specifically, John 10:10, comes to what? Steal and kill and destroy. But I what? Have come, present tense, that you may have life. And that life, more, what is he talking about? Is he talking about in heaven? No, he's talking about now. Well, I know about now. Look, I'm still learning about this heaven thing, and I'm looking forward to it. But don't talk to me about heaven right now. Talk to me about right now. Right now. Is anybody with me? Or y'all just talk to me about right now. Right now. When God's like, I've been talking to you about right now. But you keep talking to me about what was. And you keep living in the what was instead of living in your right now. My God, I'm preaching, y'all. I'm preaching. I'm supposed to be teaching. It's comfortable. I'm comfortable. My right now. And if my right now is not looking like the right now that God would have for me, I have an inkling of knowing that this is not the best me that I should be. Hello? This is not the me that I foresee myself being. I know that there's more to me than what it is that I'm living and I'm doing right now. Even for those of us who feel like we're good, there's always something that pushes up to say, there's something better. There's something more. There's something better. And that something better and more is not something that you're waiting on. It's something that God is saying, you can live that right now. Right now. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, right now. And take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Just take your shoes off and wiggle your toe or whatever. I'm saying, let's get comfortable right now. Freedom. Some of y'all ladies with the pumps on, y'all like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Your feet are pretty, but they hurt. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Let me just give you three things, and we're going to get out of here. Three things in terms of this mystery identity, this idea of our grace identity. How then we should live if we're dealing with this right now. What is my right now as far as God is concerned? Your first point, your right now, is that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Right now. Remember, I shared with you that there is a duality. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there's a duality in our existence. The same way that Adam existed here as a man, but he could communicate with God directly, that through Jesus Christ and our accepting him, we can do the same thing. But listen, y'all, because we've come through grace, we have to learn how that works. But before we can learn how it works, we have to know that it is. Are y'all with me? Ephesians 1, verse 19. This is a continued thought, but I'm going to start in verse 19. Ephesians 1, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And watch this. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Whoa, what? This incredible power there after the resurrection. All authority was given to the Lord. And then he turns around and he says that when you accept what I did, I immediately turn it over to you. Yeah. I said immediately. Remember, he's dealing with the right now. Hello? Right now. You and I, okay, y'all don't believe me. Is everybody good? He said he put all things. Let's back up for a minute. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ, meaning the Father, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. That means if it has a name, it's subject to him. But if it's subject to him, that means it's subject to you. I don't know, I can't stop myself. You lie. The only way that you're unable to stop yourself from doing the things that you know don't please God is because you're not in God. Did he just say that? Yeah, I just said it. Look, we banter back and forth about this issue of salvation. You know, if a person makes a confession, then how do you judge? I judge by where you're seated. You made me do this, bro. See, a battle a lot of times is, you know, when we get into certain things, and you hear it in church all the time. You hear this, well, you know, you have to understand that wherever you are, there's God. Right? And that's a true statement. Wherever you are on earth, God is there with you because his spirit lives in you. Whoa. But there's a duality to your existence. And do you know when you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, wherever he is? So if you wilding out and you bugging and you sinning and you doing stuff, guess what? Not only is he where you are, but you're trying to bring that mess to where... Lord Jesus, help us. So this is like... It's natural. And I could do a whole lot of other stuff, but we ain't gonna go there. I'm just saying. You and I, we have to understand our identity. The first aspect of our identity is that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so what is our conduct as Christians, little Christ, seated in a throne room? What is our conduct? What should our language look like? What should our posture be when all authority has been given to us? What should our mannerism be? What should our conversation be if we understand that he is with us here on planet Earth and there's a level of dominion that he wants us to exercise, but we are also seated with him in heavenly... What is our conduct? What is our identity? If I were to be in the presence of God, what would my mannerism be? Knowing that he said, I want you to come. You are my son. You are my daughter. Let's run this thing together. My Lord. But we wallow in sin because one or two things is happening. One, we don't understand our identity. Two, we're not saved. Andre, this is where you play background music right now. This is where you help them right now. Look. I read an article, Pastor Fred. I read an article that challenged me to challenge the people in that when we deal with the Word of God, this is not supposed to make you feel good. It's supposed to make you right. It's supposed to put you in a position where you are challenged to have to consider your right now. You have to consider your right now and where you are in relationship with God and all of the things that make you who you are. And when he says that I've already positioned you to deal with everything, if it's got a name, You have authority, not in and of yourself, not in and of yourself, but because of the grace that I've given you, you're able to do. So you honor me by being obedient to the power that I've already set in motion for you. You honor me when you make a decision to live right. You honor me. You honor the grace that I've given you when you make a decision that you, even though your body is saying you're sick, that you will not relent until God shows you exactly what's supposed to happen. Why? Because you have authority. You have the authority. You have the power. It's been graced to you. You didn't earn it. You weren't pretty enough. You weren't tall enough. You weren't you weren't spiritual enough. Lord Jesus, we know that then many times within the church environment, those that are seemingly the most religious are the most evilest people. No, don't amen that, sister. Don't amen it. We don't want them to be, but they are. They are the most controversial and the most conceited and they're just wrong. But listen, Matthew 7. We see them, but do we see us? I love y'all. Y'all know what happens after a message like this. I'll be standing in the back and people just walk around me. You know. I'll be in the car with Miss Tracy afterward and it's like, they didn't say anything to me, dear. It's all good. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. We'll go back up to verse 4. You can really actually read this from the very first verse, but we're going to start in verse 4 just to confirm what we just talked about in the aspect of our identity. It says this, but God, can y'all read this with me? Can we bring that up, you guys? I'm in the New King James verse. I'll just start reading. But God, who is rich in mercy. Yeah, stop. This is that acknowledging, man. I don't know about you, but I was a scoundrel in a lot of areas in my life. Scoundrel, that's my word for today. Don't ask me to spell it. And I know, Pastor Fred was saying it, Brother Shannon was saying it. I know where he's brought me from. Don, that's not a religious that's not a religious thing. That's just a recognizing that one, y'all, if you had money, all of y'all rob all of y'all and not feel anything about it except that I got over. But by his grace, y'all don't understand Brother Shannon's testimony. You talk to him about what he used. He tells you what he used to do, they wouldn't believe it. And so many, listen, we all have that testimony. Some of us be fronting because we look good, but somebody knows what you used to be and what you used to do. And who you was doing it with. Lord, just say this with me. Lord, help us. We keeping it real. Look what he's brought. And how can we then come into his house and worship and not acknowledge, yo, look how far I've come. And then here's the beauty of it. God is not, he's not moved by how far you've come because he already saw you as you are. That's what Fred preached it. This is not an issue of getting you there. He already saw you there. I'm trying. Where am I? Verse 5. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Wait a minute. Watch this. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. So the moment of resurrection, even though you had accepted yet, at the moment of resurrection, God said, I got you. I don't know how I'm gonna get through this message right now. We believe that I'm stuck in this condition until I say yes to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I already said yes to you. I already, the moment that I came up, I brought you with me. You don't know you're there yet, but I brought you with me. And you have to understand, there's nothing you can do to earn this. Daddy just loved you so much. And I was willing. I didn't feel it at first, but I got to a place where there's no other way that this can happen. My people, they know what they need to do, and we got a plan for them. But I also, they didn't know it, but I got a plan for y'all too. And the moment that I came up out of that tomb, the moment I came up, you came up with me. The moment that I came out in victory, you came out in victory with me. Grace. All right, Lord, help me. In verse 6, and raised us up, what? Together. And made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved by faith. This is not of yourself. Amen. 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 So where he is, you are. Where you are, he is. Here on planet Earth, his spirit lives within us. Where we go and what we're doing, God is going with us. But yet, at the same time, he envisions us. Don't ask me all of the deep. I don't know how it works, but we are where he is. In operation of, will you walk in the authority that I have given you? Anything that has a name that comes against my plan against you, there's a way that you can have victory over it. But you gotta work this grace thing. Together. Number two. We just read this. I'm gonna read it again. Number two, we are made righteous. So the issue of the moment that you come through with Jesus by grace, you are and you are becoming. You are and you are becoming. Look at your neighbor and say, I am. Stop. Who else said I am? I am, and I am becoming. What? Everything that God has said and declared about me in my existence, in my right now, I am what he says that I am. But I am becoming because I recognize that through this grace, he's already positioned me, but I have a responsibility to become a student of his scripture to learn this I am state that I am in. Yeah, yeah. To learn this I am state that I am in, I study the scripture. I avail myself to the word. I look for areas where in my life where things are not quite what I believe they should be to become what they should be by his word. Because it's his word that changes things, not your attitude, not your neck motion. Not your shutting down and closing off and getting angry and cussing everything that has a breath. Not your carrying, the ladies, we learned this yesterday. Not your carrying the moments in your life that the enemy presented to steal from you your right now. But your right now that declares that this life is an abundant life that you are to live. He's promised it, but I want to know how to do it to where it's manifest. Are y'all with me? With me. I am, but I am becoming. I am in the heavenlies. He's already declared it. But here on earth, I am processing the manifestation so that what they see, what the enemy sees, the world will see. Scripture in Romans declares to us, Romans 1, that the whole earth is groaning in eager anticipation for the sons of God to be what? Revealed. Y'all trying to walk on water. Stop doing that. You will drown. We're not. talking about walking on water. We're not talking about laying hands on hundreds of thousands of people and they just falling out. I'm not knocking that, but that we somehow in Christendom, we've manifested God's presence in all of these incredible happenings, and not knocking the incredible happenings, but what about the small, still voice of you speaking to a young man or a young lady about who they are, to, and just telling them, because maybe they never heard it before, to say, but you know, I love you. And God loves you too. The one wilding out, the one carrying a gun, the one smoking the weed, the individuals that I may never encounter. What are you doing in understanding the manifestation of the power that you have over those things? Just as powerful, just as moving as a person walking through the line in their shadow knocking people over. Just as powerful. Just as powerful that the excuses that you and I have made of why we couldn't do, we did so out of ignorance or we did so out of laziness. Knowing I should, but I have every other excuse, every other reason not to go to community group. Oh, I'm going to call it, man. I have a lot of other, Pastor, you got to understand. Look, y'all, I ain't got to understand nothing because you don't have to stand before me. My job is simple, to tell you the truth and then stay on you until it manifests. It's my job. Now, if it doesn't ever manifest, hey, don't get mad at me because stuff starts happening to you. Don't leave the church disgruntled because I said something or preached something you didn't like. Don't get mad because I begin to establish some standards in here that you don't quite get, but you don't search the scripture to understand why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. Don't do that. Search the scripture. Get connection with the Spirit of God, and He will confirm the word that is being brought forth. Hello? Don't just sit back and just believe me because it sounds good. It is good. But go for yourself in what you know in your relationship with God, and let us reason together. We are made righteous. Scripture in Ephesians 2 says, 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. When did that creation happen? At the tomb. Oh my gosh. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, and are now of what is already for Him. He says, now, since you are now what it is that I declared, now walk in that now. So when do I get my life right, Lord? Why? Because it's already right as far as He's concerned. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He did not create hell for people. So what did He do? He dealt with our right now. You need to be saved now. So I saved you now, but I need you to realize it. I need you to see it for what it is. What is it? Grace. Love you so much that I can't imagine you being apart from me, God said. I can't imagine you continuing to suffer the way that you're suffering. I can't imagine you continuing to going through this bitterness and this anger and this resentment. I can't imagine you feeling frustrated and lonely and you keep getting with these men who don't really love you like I love you. I'm tired of you taking it out on your kids and then you perpetuating a generational curse to where they're going to do what you did because you didn't come to the realization that right now I saved you, that right now I graced you, that right now I made you right, right now. And when you come to the truth of the matter, you have a decision to make. Is God a liar or am I a liar? Because if God is a liar, then my right now that He says isn't. And God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Every word that He puts out there, it will not return unto Him void, but it will do what He what? Set it out to do. Look at your neighbor and say, stop playing. Now. I'm just saying. Somebody said that we don't have any guests in here today, so we all family. You still got to love us after we leave. Everybody good? Last point. It's not that we can't sin. It's that we don't sin. It's not that we can't sin. It's that we don't sin. If I know where I'm seated, where I am, God is, where God is, I am, where Christ is, I am, and where I am, he is. By his spirit, I'm given the responsibility because he made me to be righteous, and that righteousness that I walk in is a process. I am who he says that I am, but I'm learning to be also. I am a student of the scripture. I'm a disciple. I'm following through with what the teacher has instructed about my life. I don't complicate things because where I am in my life and my walk with God is not going to be yours. So I'm not going to compare myself to you because I'm not you. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm trying to aspire to become like you. I'm aspiring to become like God. Like Christ, I'm, and the way that he intends for me to be, not the way that you are. I'm not going to do what you do. I don't know your life experience and what he saved you from to cause you to be the way that you are. But our model that we all can follow and we can platform from is grace. Because just as much as he has saved you out of something, he did the same thing for me. And at the time, in the moment of your salvation, look, here's the reality. We all got saved at the same time. Man, y'all didn't catch that. We all came in at the same time. It just manifested at different times. Y'all. At the same time, it just manifested at different times. In every breath that you take, and each day that you live, not living for God, is just another delay in the manifestation. You're just delaying the inevitable. And what the enemy would love to do is to convince you that there's you got time. And the issue is God is outside of time. What he did is already done. Okay. God is outside of time. So what we think is him waiting on us is not really him waiting on us. It's us waiting on us. Yeah, you have to understand this. That God is not seeing either or with you. Either you go to heaven or you go to hell. He's not seeing you either or. Either you're going to get saved or you're going to hell. He doesn't see you that way. He sees all of us through the lens of Jesus Christ and what Christ did. And what Christ did, he did it for everyone at the same time. So when he sees you and I, his creation, even though you might be caught up in whatever you might be caught up in, he doesn't see you in your now. He's not in your now. He is in your is. I'm sorry, teach. I'm sorry. All right. Pastor, what do you mean? God created you the way that he wanted to create you, be, operate. And that's how he sees you. I don't see the glitch. I don't see the virus anymore. I don't see the hiccup. I don't see that. I dealt with that. I pressed the reset button with Jesus. So everybody, how I see you in me. I see you with me. But I don't want to leave you hanging because you don't know. You don't know. And I, what kind of God would I be to say, you are with me, but I don't give you any inroads to see how you get there? What kind of God would I be to understand that you didn't have any knowledge of me and how I did things like the Hebrews did? What kind of God would I be to say I love the world, but yet I don't give you an opportunity to have the same things that but the Jews did? What kind of God would I be to leave you hanging and wallowing in the sin that wasn't even your fault? Y'all with me? So, it's not that you can't sin, but but you don't sin. I don't miss the mark. I don't create opportunities and avenues to where I know that if in the presence of God, he would be disappointed. He would be dishonored. That he would be, knowing you are royalty, prince and princesses, kings and queens, that where he sees you and how you are, you know that in his presence, this wouldn't be going on. This man wouldn't be touching me. I wouldn't be in his bed. I wouldn't be drinking that. I wouldn't be smiling. It's not that you can't do those things. As Paul said, all things are permissible, but they're not all things beneficial. In other words, to what benefit is God being honored when you do what you're doing? It's like four of y'all clapping. That's cool. Marinate. That's how I marinate. Okay. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to land. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All 3 points are in. We're landing. Romans chapter 6, first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? Because we came up with him. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Jesus. That we should no longer be what? Slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives. So if Christ is living this life to God, then what should we do since we are with him, together with him, not only in his death, but also in his resurrection? Then what kind of life should we live? A life lived to God. When? Y'all good? Verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves, that's kind of country. Reckon yourselves. Okay, I'm going to stop. Sorry. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. He's identifying. He knows here there's an opportunity. He knows that we both we reside here, but we also reside in heavenly places. But here there's an opportunity for sin to still manifest in your mortal body. Don't let it reign, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law. I'm done. I want to give you an opportunity right now to just think on these things. the mystery revealed and the mystery identity is not so much a mystery anymore. Our very struggle with our lives have been because of many times a lack of information. As Brother Shannon said, but once we get the information, it's something that has to get deep down in our spirit. That which already exists and already is, as far as God is concerned, because he is outside of time, and where he has established you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and the fact that you and I, we are made righteous. We're made righteous in his workmanship, so there's a process, and he gets it. He gets it that each one of you have a different learning curve and a different area of deliverance, a different thing that must be given up so that you would walk in the freedom and you would walk in the liberty that you already have. God, in his infinite love for you, recognizing the struggles that you have in this mortal body, declared once for all by his Spirit, I've given you every tool available so that you don't have to have an excuse. You don't need to make excuses for your, quote, misconduct as a prince and a princess. That you have a responsibility, but not just a responsibility, but a power to overcome. Because whatever that name of that thing is that you're dealing with, it is subject to the name of Jesus. It's subject. And if it's subject to him, it is also subject to you. And people have ministered and preached this from the aspect of it's all about you. It's all about you. All of this is so that people who don't know who God is will know who he is because they see you. And you will manifest your now. Now. How do I stop cursing? Stop. When? That's a, it cannot be that easy. With man, it's impossible. So like Brother Shannon said, you and I, we got to transcend our thinking into, I'm just not here, but I'm there. And what he says is, it is. So what do? Live in his reality, not your reality. Because you and I by ourselves, we're just mere mortals. We don't have the red cape and blue tights. Even if we did, you would have issues. I would make fun of you. But there is a spiritual supernaturalness to you that you haven't even scratched the surface of. Hallelujah. About who you are.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.